say, I don't want it. I know there's naysayers out there, but, you know, residential neighborhoods are just that, residential, and this commercializes it.
Okay.
In those tight ones, so.
Just one more question, along this line, I'm all for the notice too, even though it may not affect the decision, but do you, as a hypothetical, do you know every multi-dwelling well in the county? So, because I know Scott Valley anyway, people share wells, that kind of thing, so without notice, how would you know somebody's about to take on more of our consumption?
Rick Dean, Community Development Director. Question regarding multi-family dwellings, whether or not we're going to say
wells. Multiple parcels.
So. We are aware of those wells from 1990 forward that we permitted.
Exactly.
In there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then prior to that, we don't have record of permitting for it.
Right.
But in general, if there is a well that's shared, they're required to have an easement to those parcels that are sharing the well, and also a maintenance agreement to maintain the well.
Is that part of your check when you're issuing this kind of a permit?
It'll go through a water sewer clearance with environmental health to make certain that what's proposed can be satisfied on that piece of ground, both for sewage and water.
My favorite notice is that's okay.
Yeah. And if we go into the public hearing aspect of it, really it takes us out of the ministerial realm. Puts us back into
that's what we do
before the planning commission. Yeah.
It's right. Not ministerial now.
Correct. It is was proposed that the structure would move into the ministerial zone, but we could issue over the camera essentially. So if that's not the favor of the board, then we need to continue the process, take it to the planning commission for their approval.
I think so. That's where I'm at. That way it's transparent.
Where are we missing?
Where are you, Ellie?
Well, the thing, again, I think this is more of a data thing. I mean, I think if what I'm hearing from you, you want to go through the planning commission?
It already does.
I get that, man. But her presentation is to make it ministerial.
I understand. I'm saying no. Keep it where it's at, because that way the public has the input.
Ray, are you ministerial or? Because to me, that's going to make a difference as we're moving through the rest of the stuff.
I want the public to know. However that happens, I don't know.
I don't know that it needs to go through the planning commission. I like the fact that the neighborhood needs to know. I think there's real validity in that, because at that point, if there's enough of the neighborhood that speaks up, it might shut the whole project down. It may give that person the idea that they're going to have enough backlash that it's not worth their effort.
Mm-hmm.
That project shouldn't happen. And I think that's really important. I wouldn't want to be snuck up on like that. So I do think it's important, but I don't know that it has to go through the planning commission.
That's a plus and minus.
I think it's more time and money all around.
Any more input? Your thoughts?
So if we are keeping this in the administrative realm, typically those do not go to planning commission. Those are approved either by a planning director or a community development director. I will note we also have that requirement in there that the inspections are on an every 3-year cycle, so naturally the permit would be an every 3-year cycle. Typically with over-the-counter vacation rental permits, due to the fact that it's not a use permit that runs with the land, but if it is the wish of the board to go the planning commission route, I would probably need to confer with county council as how that works for approving a permit that's not a use permit, typically planning commission is solely entitlements, discretionary entitlements. So if we're moving back to discretionary, then that would have to, you know,
Mr. Carroll?
Be talked about.
Yeah. I'll just comment also, and it's an unexamined idea right now, so I'll discuss it with staff, but since it's come up, if it wanted to be discretionary, it doesn't have to be with the planning commission. It could be with a hearing officer within the community development department, whether that was Ms. Lang or Mr. Dean or somebody else. It could be noticed as a public hearing before that hearing officer. And there's a disagreement as the hearing officer's decision, it could be appealed to the planning commission or the board of supervisors. Mm-hmm. So that has not been explored, but there is kind of a middle mm-hmm. ground.
That's true.
That's possible.
Okay. Kind of like that. What do you think of that, Michael?
I don't see any change in what we're doing now, sorry.
There was another spot there, right? Where are you? So.
I don't care, but.
Mm-hmm.
Other than it charges the individual that wants to appeal in those stages as well. And it's what, $1,000 a pop
sure.
for John Q. Public to be able to voice his concern. And I don't support that. This all was derived by at least at the time an individual buying up 13 residences and gonna convert them all to vacation rentals.
Mm-hmm.
And the community in the South County came uncorked.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were going to wake up next door to commercial activity. Residential areas are the ones that are sensitive. Bigger
mm-hmm.
parcels,
sure.
that's it's not.
Sure.
So you have to give John Q. Public the opportunity. We can say we don't want to stop the project, but if I bought a residence and now I'm next door to commercial because it was a ministerial permit,
mm-hmm.
how was I protected? How was my investment protected?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I probably lean along the lines of still quote through the planning commission. I'm going to use what happened at Hanlon Ranch as the example.
Yeah.
You know, I brought up all the people that had issues, you know, significant issues, and it went through the process, if you will.
Okay.
My fear when we go to the ministerial is that there's going to be the one that we should have caught,
right?
Because we didn't go that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as much as I want to streamline it and make it easier, I also don't. I'm trying to be proactive down the line that
right.
we're going to be dealing with.
How many have been denied through the planning commission? I think it's
a handful.
Yeah, but
five or
for
so.
The most part, they're successful. It's
and one appeal.
Yeah.
Maybe five of them with you, and we've had one appeal. To
mm-hmm.
them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Appeals,
so
yeah.
I'm okay with it still going that route because, again, how do we convey to the neighbor who's not unaware of what's going on because they don't talk for whatever reason or they just think it was a big, you know, someone's second home and all of a sudden this happens on them?
Great.
Okay.
Okay.
Next.
I think that's the route we're going.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Let's see. Consideration of Williamson Act lands being able to apply for a vacation rental use permit. What is the wish of the board?
So I can't go down that path because Williamson Act wasn't designed for rental properties like that. I am okay if they have a rental property in conjunction with workforce or something like
mm-hmm.
that, and you get into the realm of something else, that's not what the Williams Act was ever designed for. If they want to do that, then it's a rescinded of the Williams Act, and you can have a vacation rental and go through that process. That's how I look at it.
Okay.
So, I disagree. I think that we allow long-term rental on it now. I think we just changed that recently. I think you
mm-hmm.
need to allow short. You got to remember, Williamson Act is 100 acre minimum.
No, you said 40.
Okay, 40 acres, but still, 40 acres. But correct me if I'm wrong here, the structures within the parcels that are in the Williamson Act are not under the Williamson Act, I'll call it, reduction in property tax.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
So
yeah.
It's not like those structures are already getting a reduction.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying full bore on the property tax. It behooves us as an increased revenue, potentially, to allow a short-term vacation rental there on an existing structure. Why wouldn't we? It's just an added tax revenue to the county.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's where I'll leave it.
Okay.
It only makes sense.
Supervisor Hill?
Two questions. Oh, I hate to ask this question. How does this open that door on agritourism again?
It doesn't.
No, it depends on your opinion of what agritourism is defined as.
I mean, that was the big conflab when we tried to do this a few years ago with an ordinance, and we ended up crashing and burning because there were basically a recreational opportunity on ag land.
But we're talking about an existing structure, not a build out.
Right, it wouldn't be a new home construction.
Well, there's a lot of onion structures on ag land.
Mm-hmm. So I would say it could be construed both ways depending on, you know, how the public defines agritourism and if that's included in their definition of it.
I don't know that I'd even use that term because it's a short-term vacation rental.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just used it because of the
horrible stuff
we went through.
But that, you know, when we were looking at that, was multiple because we were looking at tent structures. We were looking at, you know, a multiple venue of, what those ag properties were trying to promote their product by having on-site visitation of seeing what they do there. So it's a little different than if you, at least in my mind, you've got an existing structure that can benefit that. I mean, I get where it could potentially go, but I don't know that, I think we need to address that in a different venue without calling it that because it did create such a turmoil. But I don't know how you do that.
Let me ask it this way. Somebody takes an existing structure and converts it. Now it's maybe 20 people at a time. Is that loud?
Is this workforce housing or is this?
Rick King, Community Development Director. Something to consider with this. I mean, the thought process of it, right? So, typical vacation rental is basically the primary residence that is being utilized as a vacation rental. You have a farm, you have multiple structures on there. You can go down this route, should be restricted to one.
There's a number of occupants restricted.
Thought about, right? So you don't have that situation where you have.
I'm thinking of
the runaway.
A particular place where a barn was converted.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's an event, but that's not a.
Yeah.
Maybe some language.
Potentially leave room for the long term rental also as a accessory dwelling unit. Limited to that. For discussion.
Get some clever language in the definition of what that is. I got one more question. Now, Scott Elliott plan also has additional language on Ag 1 and 2 on intended uses. How does that mesh with what we're doing here? In general, with the lands and ag reserve properties.
I'm trying to recall exactly what I was talking about between the Ag 1 and Ag 2.
Yeah.
I think both allow for single family dwelling.
I apologize, I didn't look it up this morning.
Yeah.
It allows for a single family.
Yeah. I guess ultimately, we're going to go back through the discretionary process that would come before the Planning Commission and make those decisions, and it would be permit that's issued.
So we can still have that piece out.
I think so.
I think that's good. I love the difference in language about yeah. the 20 people in one house.
Okay.
Yeah. So every vacation rental that comes before the planning commission, it's reviewed by the environmental health department, right? And there's a maximum of 10, is it, per dwelling, maximized. But that is all before the face of the environmental, right? So if the septic system only handle six, then that is restricted to six.
What if it's capable of more? In other words, it's a five-bedroom house with, you know, when I think of house, I'm thinking of a huge place that's capable.
Yeah, there's a square footage metric that's associated.
It's associated with supply. Okay. Got it. So is it over?
My brain hurts.
Welcome to the club.
I'm all right. Have fun. You got this guy. I'm good with the Williamson Act and enabling short-term rentals.
Okay.
I'll just stop there because there's too much going on in my brain to
Yes, and we can talk about that language once we bring the guidelines back.
Yes, I'm good with that.
For another day.
Okay. Stop there. Sounds good.
So that's pretty much it. One thing I did forget to mention during my staff presentation related to last meeting, McLeod CSD, they had mentioned that, you know, there's an issue with the number of primary and secondary homes. They lose out on grant funding related to that. So I wanted to get more information from them just to see where they were at, to see if, for example, that vacancy rate cap, which was at 10%, if that needed to be reduced to 5%. I had reached out to them multiple times. I haven't received any concrete numbers from them, but I will continue to try to reach out with the CSD. I don't know if it would be, you know, in the event we don't receive those numbers, if we would want to just have the cap at 5% for consistency purposes with McLeod in South County, or keep it at 10, foregoing kind of this primary versus secondary home issue. But I can certainly continue to reach out to the CSD to get informant information from them.
And obviously, I would think that they would have been fairly responsive because if it's that big an issue, if not, we make the best decision with what we have in front of us.
Okay. Well, they do have a letter from May that they.
From the last staff report, correct.
So we shouldn't forget that.
Yeah, no, I'm just.
Yeah, so just an update on that.
I'm leaning more to the 5% than the 10 if you're going to do anything.
Okay.
I like the consistency factor.
Yeah,
so that's fine, and we can just leave it at that, and obviously it can always be revisited.
I'm just still not sure that the 2.5 acres shouldn't apply there as well.
Okay.
And I think their letter reflects some of that because they're having housing issues as well.
Yes.
Okay. But the housing issue is everywhere. Well, so I, you know, remember, for me, the 2.5 acre is because that's what it was. So I don't want to change South, you know, the district, if you will, because I think if we were to change, let's just use McLeod as the example, we're going to get a whole bunch of pushback because we were allowing it, and now we're not. As compared to Mount Shasta, where we weren't allowing it, and now you see, it's kind of like it flips.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm okay with where we are on that piece.
I'm not.
Okay.
For McLeod,
okay.
Yeah. Just a quick comment.
Yeah.
On that. So just understand if you go to that route, then it takes the complete town out.
Yeah.
Well, it would have zero.
I think that's where the problem is, and I think that's where the CSD, because we don't have a voice here, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, unfortunately, Supervisor Chris has to recuse himself.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to hear something out of the CSD. That says yay or nay to it, basically. But I thought in the letter they said it's problematic for within the CSD boundary.
Yeah, further funding.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
How does that work related to the same?
I think you probably have to grandfather in for certain length of time, and you know.
I think we've done said that, right?
Approved ones. Mm-hmm. Yep, approved ones that are in use with use permits, runs with the land, grandfathered in prior to the moratorium.
Yeah.
What would you do if you don't own one now? know, that seems like, you know, some pretty unfair treatment. People coming in. I understand the issue, but from a property value standpoint, it's pretty problematic.
I think that if you were to change it now, all you're going to get is a bunch of vacancies because they're going to be second homes that people are going to use them as second homes. You might get a small percentage that turn into whatever. But the reason why people do that is because it's a way to offset their cost of owning a second home, if you will.
Yeah.
That's my perception of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it alleviates, quote unquote, the affordable housing in general. Again, my comment with housing is we have that all through the county, particularly South County, not just without Dunsmuir, Mike, but we say that, you know, mm-hmm. That's another nut that we need to figure out, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, where are we?
Let's see. Oh, so last meeting we discussed potentially the requirement for the property owner to live in the home for 2 years prior to applying for a permit. So how do we want to go about that? Do we want it, the resident to provide like the homeowner exemption form as the primary residence, or just do like a penalty under perjury form?
Yeah.
Just so they say, yeah, we've been here for 2 years.
So if someone doesn't come, they're just buying the house just to turn it around.
Right.
Around.
So it.
Yeah, but like on a Williamson Act, where you've got a resident, but you've got some. Do they have to live in vacation rental before they can make a vacation rental?
They would just have to own the property.
Dwelling?
Yeah. It's mainly to offset the
developer.
The ones that are just coming on, wanting a second home, pay for it through a vacation rental.
Right.
They're not adding to the community per se. I mean, the schools suffer. I mean, you can trickle on down to what you don't have from a full-time resident. So this is just kind of a buffer. Really, to give you, this is what Tahoe, I think, does, is it?
Mm-hmm. Also Sierra County.
Yeah, yeah.
Is 2 years the standard, what you've seen out there?
I
can almost go down to a year.
I want to say I've also seen 5 years in some, like, SoCal counties.
Two has been
I don't think I've seen a year.
Okay.
But we can go
down. I'll stay with consistency and uniform. I don't want to,
Two is fairly standard.
Okay. I mean, that. I will say I think that's something that's exacerbated in South County, mm-hmm. is that it would actually be marketed.
Yep.
Sure.
Housing is cheap enough, you can buy a house and turn it into a rental, you're making the creative cash flow, and you're off and running.
Mm-hmm.
Which is definitely taken out of housing stock, if you will.
Okay.
But I don't know what I don't have the specific numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have 1,000 or taking 500 out, or are they taking 50 out, or that kind of thing?
Right.
It's hard to gauge on all that.
Right. Well, a perceived problem or a real problem?
No, when you talk to young families
or even
businesses that depend on seasonal employment, the rental availability out there, especially in South County, is not there. Young families that are trying to get a start,
mm-hmm.
Because the prices have been pushed up because of outside influence in buying up at a higher price and doing vacation rental,
mm-hmm.
it's made homes less affordable even for young families.
Yeah, and I would say this, and I'll use my wife as an example, works at Dunsmuir Elementary where they've lost out on teacher employment because they can't find housing.
Yeah.
It's not, and I don't know, I don't think it is quote unquote vacation rentals, just like we have a homeless problem, not to the extent what's down in the Bay Area, but that's what goes on, is there's no housing,
mm-hmm.
and people are forced out, and it's
like a general condition
kind of
too.
Well, it's statewide.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the issues that we need to figure out.
Okay.
Again, not in this venue, but how do we get? I'll use housing in general. It's just no catch-all names or whatever. I know Wairika's trying to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
General plan should help
mm-hmm.
facilitate that. With
mm-hmm.
our,
okay.
Ideally, what should have occurred or. And I guess I'll just say this one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Vacation rentals should be not unlike what you go to Sun River or in, resort type area. There should be designated areas that it's just allowed. We're doing kind of a catch-all, which isn't bad, but ideally it would be zoned, you'd have a zoning for vacation rental.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it would fit all the criteria and we wouldn't be struggling to do what we're doing right now.
So the city of Mount Shasta only allows vacation rentals in commercial zone, so they don't allow it in residential.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes away all these problems that we're trying to deal with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably go along, but I mean, it just kind of grips with my capitalism, private property right core.
Oh, we're trying to thread the needle.
Yeah, there's all of it. But I mean, even to the private property, again, a resident that has a home that now wakes up next door to commercial activity, right next door.
Well, that's the way the word solid bug is zoning, it's not individual parcel description. What you're doing here.
Yeah. But we can't go back and redo, right? So we're playing catch up.
Okay, Ms. Lane.
I think that's it. You guys.
So what's the last one here? You have for enforcement.
So did we want to incorporate like our enforcement process in the zoning ordinance?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
So the code enforcement, enforcement process, and complaint process.
But we already do that.
Well, but I think we talked earlier about you get X number of complaints and boom, your permits are revoked. I'd like to see that in the permit.
Okay.
I want them to be well aware of what the process is.
Yes.
If we, you know.
So if they take it on and be responsible about instructing who whoever's using it.
Yeah, I don't want, oh, I didn't know, I'll do
right.
whatever.
Right.
Okay.
Not unlike what we're doing now, because it's complaint driven and then code enforcement shows up.
Correct. Yes. Okay.
Okay. Enough. We'll see it in next year sometime.
I get what you're saying about the tiny house.
I don't.
And kind of, but where I'm going with this is, we got yurts or out there. We've got now, that was a new one for me today on the tiny house. Without it being an ADU, how do we, as a county who has the ability to make an ordinance, how do we allow some of that within the confines of an ordinance? Because I don't know that what he said today with the tiny house was unrealistic, but yet we're kind of like, no, it doesn't pertain. So I'm not going down the clamping path. I think this is, I'll call it a special category at this point, but how do we become flexible enough to be able to accommodate something like that, if at all possible, I guess, is where I'm headed with this.
So then, also, is this the one with the engineered septic issue?
The tiny house?
Yeah.
Yeah, potentially, right? Because the soils are very poor out there.
So there's a little more to this story.
Well, no, but
I think I agree with you.
But even they would have to meet the requirement of septic and water. I mean, it's not like you just get to go out there and set up shop and say we're here. But I'm saying, how do you include that infrastructure type that makes it possible?
So I would go along the lines with, I think I would like to see if we could be flexible, because in my mind, someone who's going to put a tiny home on something out there is more of a recreational standpoint, and they have use, but they're also trying to recover some costs. It's not like, quote unquote, it's going to be a long-term rental or any of that kind of stuff. Again, I think there should be some flexibility along those lines. I haven't thought it out completely with our... But it just seems like what he was saying, the gentleman, that, you know, if we're going to allow vacation rentals, then where do we draw the line?
So can I ask, what's the difference between that and somebody has a fifth wheel and comes a couple of weeks of the year as a septic and dock?
Camping permit.
Why is that a camping permit? I mean, they own the property, they own the septic and the well.
Well, they can.
That's what they're doing.
No, the way it's been in Siskiyou County, we are camping where it's wired.
I know, that's...
But that doesn't mean it can't change. We hear that all the time.
Yeah, it's probably our weakest part of our whole conversation for enforcement and everything else. It's always been a fun topic.
It's something to think about down the line.
Yeah. So how are tiny homes taxed? Are they personal property tax, or are they licensed like a RV?
Like a recreational vehicle.
Yeah. But they're portable.
Until they're permanent.
Until they're set up like they are at the little.
Yeah.
By the truck stop, where they're little
what are they called?
Mobile, the little mobile home park up here where they're just the little mini homes. But those are on permanent foundations, aren't they? The little park models. They're basically tiny homes, but they're on permanent foundations, right?
They're on foundations. I'm whether you want to call them permanent.
I need
to go look at that.
Somebody took the wheels off.
Yeah. Throw a couple bricks underneath and you're good to go.
Yeah. But they can still just jack them up and move them away.
I don't think that's what's wrong.
Yeah.
All right.
So zoning permit. Yeah. As far as the ordinance conversation goes, and Haley's much more versed at this than I am.
Yeah.
But understand we have the ADU conversation, right? So anytime there's a second dwelling, the only current mechanism is through the state as a long-term rental. So the ordinance would have to basically address that second dwelling unit could also be short-term vacation.
Mm-hmm. And you could limit even that to X amount of months of the year that it was available. It wouldn't necessarily have to be year-round.
And the other aspect of it is, too, right, so you're talking about yurts, you're talking mm-hmm. about tents.
I didn't say tents.
Well,
I just
a yurt is a
tiny
tent.
House in
and you said any kind of structure that is not to the level of a dwelling, so it doesn't need all, you know, Title 22, engineering and everything else, is a temporary structure that would potentially be the right ordinance taken down after 6 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you want to come and live in my tent for the weekend or whatever and rent it out on a temporary basis, then you don't have to get into the building code piece.
Mm-hmm.
So can you have a glorified tent that's really a tiny house? Is that what I'm hearing?
Take it down.
Take it down.
Because you're
yeah.
essentially, they potentially could be off the grid as well. Right?
There's all kinds
there
of potential.
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
So just have to be very careful with what's created here.
Understood. That's why we're just throwing it out there, so you need that very careful on how we thread the needle.
Sure.
We're trying to encourage tourism.
Yeah.
Well, some flexibility, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, again, just raising the issue because the gentleman was here. So, I mean, I think the whole prep, whether we get there or not, is another story.
Yeah. Sure.
I think the core issue is the vacation rental.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Wendy?
What's the next step?
I wasn't
is
there
it,
yet, Wendy.
Oh, okay. Public hearing's still open?
Yes, it's going to be open forever as long as I'm here.
Yes. Can we continue it to, what are the meetings in August?
August
the 1st and the 8th?
1 and 8, yeah.
Can we continue it to the 8th? The 1st? Okay, can we continue the 1st?
Was it September?
Yeah, you were.
Oh, the 1st is September.
I was going the other way.
Oh, I was like,
huh? No, all seriousness, there's a lot on the plate here.
Yeah,
and
I don't want
you to feel rushed or whatever, because, again, I'm not getting calls from constituents. I don't see the crowd.
Sure.
Let me know the door.
Yeah.
We can do the first meeting in September.
Is the first meeting in September our budget?
No, that should be the second.
Okay, let's make it the first week in September.
Okay, can do.
Yeah.
That works.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm thinking it's
Brandy?
September 5.
She's looking at the
5,
okay.
Yeah.
September 5?
Yeah.
Yes.
When do you need 5?
Yeah, if we could, just for a couple minutes, would be
all right.
Nice.
Take 5.